As I mentioned last week, for many, many people, prayer is a struggle. And yet I think the vast majority of Christ followers would love to have a vibrant, healthy, dynamic prayer life. That's what this short series, this short three-week series we're in, is all about. Helping those of us who struggle with prayer discover some ancient practices that we can apply to our prayer lives. Last week, if you remember, if you were joining us, we looked at three ancient practices. We looked at fixed hours of prayer, we looked at using prayer books, and we looked at the idea of praying the Psalms. Today, what I'd like to do, as I mentioned just a minute ago, is walk through my morning prayer liturgy with you. And I just want to take us through it. This is a different kind of sermon. It's going to be more me sharing what I do in my mornings, giving you a little background to that. And again, I really want you to have a copy of this as we go through. It'll make a whole bunch more sense. But let's start with a very basic question. What is a liturgy? The word liturgy means the work of the people. The purpose of liturgy is to unite and guide people in the essential act of worshiping the one true God. The purpose of liturgy is to unite and guide people in the essential act or the essential work of worshiping the one true God. Practically, a liturgy is a set of activities that we do or a particular arrangement that we follow when we worship or pray. It is the written prayers, the readings, the rituals that we use for worship and prayer. A well-formed liturgy will deepen and form your faith. I know this because as I've embraced the doctrine of, or not the doctrine, the practice or the discipline of liturgical prayer, I have been deeply formed. And it was Lindsay Anderson who said to me, he said, Steve, you should really share your morning liturgy with other people to see if it helps them in their prayer life. And so thanks, Lindsay, for the suggestion. That's what I'm going to do this morning. Now, how did this start for me? How did I create my morning liturgy? Brian Zond is the lead pastor of Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And Brian has done something for a few years called prayer school, where he gathers people together and he teaches them about liturgical prayer. And in that, he teaches them his morning liturgy. And so I heard a couple of years ago that Brian was going to be in Seattle. And so myself and some of the staff went down and we took his prayer school. And it was incredible for me personally. And so what I did is I took Brian's morning liturgy and I used it as a template for me to create my own morning liturgy. And so I thank Brian for this because he's given me the template to work off of. And I'm hoping that you'll be able to take my morning liturgy and make it a template for you to work off of. Now, you'll notice as we go through this morning, the first half of my morning liturgy brings me into the presence of God. And then I sit with Jesus, and then the second half prepares me to go into my day. So I want you, with that handout, to follow along as I go through my morning liturgy. My liturgy begins with a call to prayer. I say this, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then I move to the address. I say, Father God, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Israel, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have mercy and hear our prayer. This address makes it clear who I'm praying to. I'm not praying to a universal force. I'm not praying to a generic God. I am praying to the Father God, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God of Israel, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that gets my focus on who I'm praying to. Then I pray, glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah. That is a doxology, and a doxology is just a short hymn of praise to God. And this is, you notice, is a Trinitarian doxology. Many Christian traditions use it. For some reason, I really like this doxology, and I say it a lot. I say it a lot in my prayer liturgies, but I say it as I go through the day as well. This doxology is really connected with me. Then I say, oh God, make speed to save us. Oh Lord, make haste to help us. This form of prayer is called a precis, and it's one of the oldest forms of prayer in Christianity. It finds its source in the pre-Christian Hebrew prayers that were said in temple worship. Then I pray the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, and here I say, a sinner. Sometimes the Jesus prayer includes the words a sinner, sometimes it doesn't. Here I say a sinner because I'm about to go into my confession of sin. The rest of the time I just say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. The Jesus prayer comes from the Orthodox Church, and I'm going to be teaching on this short prayer because it is, the words in this prayer are packed with meaning, and we're going to be talking about that next week together. So after I say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, I now come to the confession of faith. And I say this, I pray this. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways in the glory of your name. Amen. John says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And the ancient words of the confession offer me the daily gift of confession of sin. After praying the confession, I spend some time in personal confession. Some people may not need to do this, but I usually have a sack full of stuff to confess. And so after I pray the confession, I take a few minutes and I just get real personal. And I say, you know, yesterday, Lord, I blew it. And I just start listing off the stuff and ask for forgiveness. And after I've done that, I read Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7 in the New Revised Standard Version. I really like the New Revised Standard Version. I want to encourage you, if you develop a morning liturgy of prayer, to use whatever Bible version you like. Like I said, I like the NRSV. You may like the New International Version. The New Living Translation is very popular. Find a version that you enjoy and use it in your morning liturgy. So I read Psalm 95, 1 to 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. The opening words of Psalm 95 have been the opening words of invitation to morning prayer for thousands of years. And so I pray these verses, I read them, And then I move into praying the psalm of the day. And we talked about praying the psalms last week. And that's here's where I pray the psalm. Today it's Psalm 44. Tomorrow I'll be praying Psalm 45, Psalm 46, etc. And I have a system, and I go through a psalm a day. And it's here after reading Psalm 95 that I pray through the psalm. Once I've done that, I say the Apostles' Creed that goes like this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A creed is a brief statement of faith that summarizes biblical truth and clarifies doctrine. As the early church spread, it needed statements of faith to help Christ followers keep focused on essential doctrines and truth. And the Apostles' Creed is one of those statements. The original apostles did not write this creed. It's named the Apostles' Creed because it accurately reflects the teaching of the apostles. The earliest form of the creed appeared in the second century, and then the creed was formalized in the 8th century. Saying this creed every day keeps me focused and grounded. And that's important because what we believe about God matters immensely. It influences how we pray, how we worship, how we think, and ultimately how we live our daily lives. And so by saying the Apostles' Creed every day, I find myself focused and grounded on the essential truths and doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Now let me just note one thing about the creed, otherwise I'm going to get emails. When the creed says the Holy Catholic Church, the word Catholic there means the church universal. It's not referring to the Roman Catholic Church, but the church, the body of Christ as a universal fellowship. And so after I say the Apostles' Creed, I move into Psalm 23. I love this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Reading this psalm slowly and reflectively can bring peace and refreshment into your life. And oftentimes when I'm stressed in life or I'm anxious, I just go to Psalm 23 and I just read it slowly and reflectively. And as I do it, God, as I read that psalm, God uses those words to restore my soul, to give me focus. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 ties in beautifully with the end of Psalm 23. For you who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And then I read Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Of all the verses, in all the Psalms, these are some of my favorite. Listen to these verses this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, all your sin, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And after I finish reading through Psalm 103, I pray for my family. I go through my family members and I pray for them and just spend some time praying for my family. And after I've done that, I pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As I mentioned last week, Jewish rabbis gave their followers a prayer to pray, and Rabbi Jesus gave his followers a prayer to pray. And whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, we know we have prayed well. And after the Lord's Prayer, I do something called the Lord's Prayer Expanded. I learned this in Brian Zahn's prayer school. And it's very similar to praying the Psalms. As I mentioned last week, you read the Psalm and then you go back and you pray it through. And like today, Psalm 44, tomorrow Psalm 45, I'll read it through and then I'll go back and I'll pray it in an expanded way. It's the same with the Lord's Prayer here. I just prayed the Lord's Prayer and then I go back and I pray an expanded version. I start with, and it's just off the cuff, if you will, Our Father. Thank you, God, that you are our Father, our Daddy, our Abba. And not only are you our Daddy and our Abba, but you're in heaven, and your name is hallowed, meaning it's holy, it's separate. So, God, we get to call you Daddy and have an intimate relationship, but you're separate from us. You're the creator and the sustainer of all. And then I just go through, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I pray about that. Talk about God today. Let your kingdom come through me. And I just go through the Lord's Prayer and I just expand it. And after I've prayed through the Lord's Prayer in an expanded way, I take some time for what I call open prayer. And that's just where I pray through my prayer list for care needs in the church. I pray my 555. I pray for Sanich's vision. I pray for things going on in my life. It's kind of that open, spontaneous prayer time. And next I pray the collect of the week. A collect is simply a prayer that gathers the intentions of people into a succinct prayer. I pray the weekly collect from the Book of Common Prayer. And I use the Sunday collect all week. So there's a collect, a prayer for Sunday, and I pray that same prayer each day until next Sunday when I pray that Sunday prayer for the following week. And so, for instance, today in the Book of Common Prayer, the prayer for this Sunday is this: O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do. And also may they have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And so I pray that prayer today, and then I pray that same prayer in this spot for the next 6 days until Saturday, and then on Sunday, I get another prayer for the following week. Now, let me just say something about the Book of Common Prayer. It comes from the Anglican tradition. And it came from the efforts, actually, of the first Protestant Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas Cranmer, in the 16th century. Cranmer was charged with turning the ministerial monastic prayers of the church into prayers for the common English person. And so he took the great prayers of the church, going back to the 5th and 6th century, and created the Book of Common Prayer. Today, Christ followers all over the world begin and end their days with this book. I use the 1979 Book of Common Prayer from the Episcopal Church. But let me just say something about the Book of Common Prayer. It can be pretty confusing when you first get into it. I actually had to read a book on understanding the Book of Common Prayer before I could use it well. But I've learned to use it, and as I just mentioned, I use the collect of the week from it each week. After I pray the collect of the week, I'm at the middle point of my liturgy, and this is where I sit with Jesus. I start with the prayer of St. Francis, the 5th century bishop of Ireland, who prayed this: Christ within me, Christ above me. Christ below me, Christ before me. Christ behind me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ all about me to guide and direct me. Amen. And then I just sit in silence with Jesus. It was Mother Teresa who once said, God is the friend of silence. Psalm 46:10 says, be still, be silent, be still, and know that I am God. So that's what I do at this point. I just sit in silence. And when my mind starts to wander about the things I have to do or pick up coffee on the way to work or whatever it is, I just say the name of Jesus and refocus myself. And I sit in silence for how long? I don't know, 5 minutes or so. I kind of know when I'm done. And then I move on. I move on to the second part of my liturgy. And the second part prepares me to go into my day, to walk into my day with Jesus. I start the second half with the prayer of the crucified Christ that says this: Lord Jesus, you stretched out your arms upon the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen. And then I pray the prayer of peace from the Book of Common Prayer that says this: O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I follow the prayer of peace with the prayer of St. Francis, which, long story short, is not actually his prayer. It's named after him, but it's not his prayer. Francis lived from 1182 to 1226. This prayer of St. Francis was first published in a small magazine in France in 1912. The most likely author was a French priest. Nevertheless, it is a great prayer to pray as you think about going into your day. Here it is. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving we receive, it is in the pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in the dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And then I move to the prayer of thanksgiving. I think for me, I don't know about you, I think for me it's so important that I maintain a heart posture of gratitude to God for all that he's blessed me with. And so I pray the prayer of thanksgiving. It's from, again, from the Book of Common Prayer and was written by Edward Reynolds, the Bishop of Norwich. And it was added to the Revised Common Prayer Book. The prayer book's gone through many revisions. It was added to the Revised Prayer Book in 1662. Here is the prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout the ages. Amen. And after the prayer of thanksgiving, I pray this: Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. This short prayer is actually comes from the biblical phrase, have mercy on me, Lord, that is found often in the Psalms. And if you think about it, that short little prayer is simultaneously a prayer of thanksgiving and of acknowledgement of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will continue to do. And then I say the confession of mystery. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And I close with the prayer of grace, which says this. This is how I end. Lord God, almighty and everlasting Father, you have brought me safely to this new day. Preserve me with your mighty power, that I may not fall into sin, nor be overcome by adversity. In all I do, direct me to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And there you have it. That is my morning liturgy. Now, I've gone through many revisions. Just ask my assistant, Lindsay Weiss. I have gone through many revisions. And my purpose in sharing it with you this morning is not that you will take it and use it. You're certainly welcome to if you want to. My purpose in giving it to you this morning is maybe you'll do what I did with Brian Zahn's prayer liturgy. Maybe you'll take it and it'll be a template for something you want to do. Or maybe you can take one or two ideas and apply them to your morning devotions, and it will be helpful to your prayer life. My goal is to help those who struggle with prayer develop healthy, dynamic prayer lives. Having a prayer liturgy is one way to do that. Let me say a couple of things. First, when I go through my prayer liturgy, I read it out loud. I find that really helpful. Now, I don't read it out loud when I'm sitting on my patio in the morning in the summer. I read it a little quieter, but I still read it out loud. I think there's something very powerful about reading it out loud. Secondly, let me also say variety is good. At least I think it is. Don't limit yourself to one prayer liturgy. Once in a while, as I mentioned last week, I'll put this aside and I'll grab a prayer book and I'll use the prayer book for a while, like the Glenn Stahl Book of Prayer, and then I'll come back to my morning liturgy. Right now, I'm using the Celtic Book of Prayer for my evening or my night liturgy. Do what works for you. I'm just trying to give you some ideas. Now, on our website, there's the morning prayer liturgy, and you can download that and use it or take whatever parts you want to use. But there's another download on there called the SBC Book of Prayer or Prayer Book. And this includes my morning liturgy. It also includes my midday prayer that I do at midday. It has a late afternoon prayer, which, full disclosure, I'm still working at applying to my life, and it has night prayer that I use at night. And if you're looking at the night prayer one and it says prayer of examine and you're wondering what that is about, we're going to be talking about that next week. We're going to be talking about the Jesus prayer and the prayer of examine next week. But if you want to look at liturgies for throughout your day for those fixed hours of prayer that I was talking about last week, this prayer book could be really helpful. It will give you some ideas for prayer at morning, noon, late afternoon, and night. So I want to encourage you to download either just the morning one or download the whole prayer book and see how it can be a blessing to your prayer life. So this week, why not take a couple of elements from either my morning liturgy or from our prayer book and apply them to your prayer life and see if it helps your prayer life become what you want it to be. I hope that's been helpful. Just a little sharing of what I do. Let me pray for you, and then Kim's going to come, and we'll close the service in song. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, and thank you for the historic church. Thank you that we can look back and we can learn. Thank you that we can look back and we take the prayers of the past and bring them into the present and we can pray them with freshness. Thank you, God, that throughout the years of church, there were men and women who saw the wisdom in recording these prayers. God, I pray that you will take what I've shared this morning and may it be helpful for some to help their prayer lives become what you want them to be. Father, may we acknowledge we struggle with prayer, but may we also say, Father, that as we start to learn from others, we can have that healthy, dynamic prayer life that we desire. And so, God, I just pray that in these days, you'll help us be aware of what we can do to take our prayer lives to the next level. In Jesus' name, amen.